As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a handful of friends and family who have had the strange experience this year of welcoming a newborn baby in the middle of the pandemic. For the parents, that has meant no baby showers, mom going to her doctor's appointments alone, no visitors at the hospital, fewer casseroles coming to the house, and having to make really hard decisions about whether or not to let an older child go to daycare or school while you have this vulnerable newborn at home. Just this week, I learned that new mothers will soon have to choose between either getting a COVID vaccine or breastfeeding their babies. They can't do both because not enough is known about the vaccine. This is an unusual year for everything, and it's an equally unusual time to be expecting or giving birth. At a time in a new parent's life when they need a lot of social support, instead they get the same isolation as the rest of us. Makes me wonder how isolated Mary must have felt when she heard this news. Gabriel has come to her out of the blue. Mary has not asked for a child, and by all accounts, she is totally unprepared. She's too young. She's not yet married. This pregnancy could make her legally subject to stoning because it happens out of wedlock. And who's going to believe this crazy story? When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary in the first place, it's not like she just hops on board like everything is great. She is perplexed. She ponders what sort of greeting this might be. Is this good news or not? Is it a joke? A test? A figment of her imagination? What on earth sort of greeting is this? Even when she hears the rest of the message, that she has found favor with God, that this child will be great, son of the Most High, that he will sit on the throne of David, reign over the house of Jacob, have an eternal kingdom, Mary's still not so sure. How can this be? Is it good news? Is it good news for Mary that her whole life is going to be turned upside down? That all her plans are going out the window? Will Joseph still marry her? Should she try to somehow hide the pregnancy until then? Can she carry this secret on her own? Not to mention, what will this child be like? Do I want to be responsible for raising the King of all creation? Mary doesn't come from a royal lineage. This is all out of her league, and it would be for anybody. But then Gabriel tells her one more thing, and her mindset starts to shift a little bit. By the way, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And it's at that point, with the news about her cousin, that Mary starts to trust the angel's message. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Mary finds out that she isn't alone, that she's not the only one experiencing something strange and scary and otherwise impossible. Her experience is going to be different than Elizabeth's. Mary's young, never tried to get pregnant. Elizabeth is old and has been praying for this for years. But maybe they'll be in it together somehow. And maybe what seems strange and scary right now could even lead to something joyful and beautiful. No surprise, I guess, that the first person Mary wants to see after all this is not her parents or Joseph, it's Elizabeth. Mary sets out with haste to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and when she walks in the door, Mary doesn't even have to say a word. The child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. The Holy Spirit fills her, and she blurts out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Fruit of your womb? How did she know? Sometimes, especially with God's help, a true friend just knows. Knows what is happening behind whatever brave front you try to put up. Knows what you need to hear. Knows how to help you find your peace and your joy again. Nadia Boltz-Weber is a Lutheran pastor who started a new church in Denver many years ago, and in one of her memoirs, she writes about two women in her church, Amy and Bobby. Amy was a paraplegic. Her legs were left paralyzed by a childhood car accident involving a drunk driver. Bobby was socially awkward with emotional scars stemming from years of childhood abuse. Nadia writes that shortly after they met, Bobby, the emotional cripple, would become Sherpa to Amy, the physical cripple. From the outside, she writes, it looked as though Bobby was selflessly and compassionately taking care of a disabled woman. She hauled Amy's body around to concerts and road trips and festivals, and when Amy was in the ICU for weeks, intubated and barely alive, Bobby rarely left her side. But when Amy passed, Bobby read a eulogy of gratitude for this friend who had so often been the one there for her. "Thank you, Amy. Thank you for seeing me, for seeing through the facade. Thank you for praying and for refusing to pray and thereby becoming a living prayer. Thanks for your honesty, for your frustration and anger and enthusiasm and joy. Thank you for your poet's heart, for the music of honest and beautiful words that turn the struggles of life into a song of shared humanity. Thank you for seeing, really seeing, people who often get overlooked. Restaurant staff who become quick friends. A panhandler asking for change. And me." There's something powerful in having a friend or relative or anyone who can see you for who you really are, who can see even those parts of your life that you might try to hide, and who will walk with you through the ups and downs of life. Amy and Bobby saw each other, and they probably recognized some of that old childhood pain. But they saw so much more. They saw joy and talent and faith and love. And it helped both of them to make it through. Elizabeth and Mary also saw each other. Elizabeth saw Mary's pregnancy when nobody else knew. Elizabeth saw the vulnerable position that Mary was in, but she also saw so much more. She saw joy. She saw the fulfillment of God's promises. She saw that Mary was chosen for something holy and beautiful. Maybe today you are thinking to yourself, I wish I had a friend like that. And if that's the case, then in ordinary times, I would tell you to look around this room right now, because we are a family. And as best as we can, we try to love unconditionally. So you might just have to close your eyes and imagine this place and know that there are so many people praying for you and cheering you on. Maybe you pull out your old church directory or scroll through pictures, and don't be shy about picking up the phone. And on the flip side, maybe today you are thinking to yourself, I'd really like to be a friend like that. Someone who can see beyond the surface, see others for who they really are with all their God-given talents, with their loves and joys, their flaws, their grace. And if you are praying for eyes like that, then you're halfway there. Be an Elizabeth. Be ready to open the door. Maybe right now, the phone. Be ready to rejoice. Ready to recognize the gifts of others. Be ready to welcome what God is doing for the world. Because the Lord is coming with everlasting joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.